welcome to the show, Evan Bray. Great to have you here on a Tuesday morning that is proving to be a busy one. We got a lot of different things going on. We learned earlier this morning the loss of a Hollywood legend, Robert Redford, died at the age of 89.
Ready?
No, we'll jump.
Like hell we will.
No, it'll be okay. The water is deep enough we don't get squished to death. He'll never follow us.
How do you know?
Would you make a jump like that and you didn't have to?
I have to, and I'm not gonna.
Well, we got to, otherwise we're dead. They're just gonna have to go back down the same way they come. Come on.
Just one clear shot, that's all I want.
Come on. We got to.
Up. Get away from me.
Why?
I want to fight them.
They'll kill us.
Maybe.
You want to die?
Do you?
One of the many famous scenes from that show, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid from 1969, of course, a big one for Robert Redford. He was with Paul Newman in a number of movies, including The Sting, which was huge for them. In fact, he was nominated for the Academy Award for Best Actor for his performance in that. The Way We Were, a big movie for him, All the President's Men. And he did some directing as well. Ordinary People, A River Runs Through It were early directorial debuts for him. Of course, who can forget, and I said this off the start of the show, the question that was posed in 1993 by Robert Redford that had many people asking the same question, talking to their spouse.
I were to offer you $1 million for one night with your wife.
How many people had that continued conversation afterwards? Of course, Indecent Proposal with Demi Moore, Woody Harrelson, and Robert Redford from 1993. So lots of great movies out there. My grandfather was a big, big Western movie fan. And so I was telling the story to a friend this morning. I remember when they bought, my grandma and grandpa bought a VCR, what a big deal it was. And mom and dad got them a couple of like the old dusters type of movies. And one of the movies they got them was Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, which of course, I mean, I didn't watch it as a kid. It was before my time, but I remember sitting there. We probably were 8, 9 years old watching this movie with Grandpa, and he loved it and was pointing out different things about it. So early exposure to Robert Redford, and like many of us, watched a lot of his movies through the years. Okay, there's a few different things we're following this morning. This is brand new breaking news that is out. It sounds as if Chrystia Freeland is expected to resign from cabinet this afternoon. This is because of a likely appointment to Ukraine. There is reasonable source information out that Transport and Internal Trade Minister Chrystia Freeland, who has been given a cabinet position, of course, in the Carney government, is expected to leave her role in cabinet for an appointment, whether it's that of a special envoy, some sort of a formal announcement likely to come down on that this afternoon. So we were talking about this morning, but we did see a return to Parliament yesterday. Question period proved to be really interesting. I think a lot of eyes were on question period. What's this going to be like between Pierre Poilievre, now back in the House, recently won that by-election in Battle River Crowfoot in Alberta to find himself back in the House as the official leader of the opposition. Interesting start, some interesting comments to get things going yesterday.
My mother taught me never to be late, so please forgive me for my late arrival to the session. I had some meetings with extremely important people in East Central Alberta, Mr. Speaker, after which I was honored to be elected by the great people of Battle River Crowfoot. I thank the great Damien Kirk who made it possible, and I thank the Prime Minister for calling a prompt by-election. I wonder if one day he might regret that decision, but in a spirit of good faith, I wonder if he agrees that our goal should be a Canada where hard work is rewarded, where food and homes are affordable, where streets are safe, where borders are solid, and where we're all united under a proud flag.
Prime Minister Mark Carney, of course, took to his feet many times through the back and forth, and one of the things off the start talked about what Pierre Poilievre missed in his absence over the last couple of months.
Mr. Speaker, I understand the minister, or the minister, promotion. I understand the leader of the opposition was busy He missed the largest tax cut for 22 million Canadians. He missed the cut on the GST for new homes. He missed eliminating all federal barriers to trade. He missed, I hope I'll have another opportunity to finish a very long list of what the leader of opposition is.
So that actually ended up being a bit of a common theme. If you watch the back and forth, don't forget they get 35 seconds. So it's quick. Polyev, even though he was out for a short time there, he missed that short period of time after the election because, of course, he lost his seat and had to be reelected in the by-election that we just talked about. But he didn't miss a step when it comes to using that 35. I mean, he has that 35-second rebuttal or question or whatever down pat. Mark Carney, he's still got some work to do. There was a couple of times where, here's another example, where Carney's trying to make his point, and part of it is I think there's a little bit too much time wasted off the start when there's heckling. He lets that get in the way, but he runs out of time.
Mr. Speaker, this government is undertaking the biggest investment in protecting Canadians in the Canadian military. Doubling our investment in the Canadian military from last year when this member last sat in the House by the end of this decade. This government, there's more.
There's more. He runs out of time. He's got to sit down. Polyev jumps right in, of course, shows him how it's done.
There's a lot more debt is what there is, Mr. Speaker. A lot more debt than we ever imagined would be possible. This is a prime minister who said we'd have the fastest growing economy in the G7. We have the fastest shrinking economy in the G7. He said grocery prices would go down. They're going up faster than ever before. He promised to create jobs. He has the second highest unemployment in the G7. He's really reminding us all of that sign at the bar. Free beer tomorrow. But you come back the next day and the beer is still not free, and tomorrow never comes. Mr. Speaker, why is it that all of this Prime Minister's promises of yesterday turn into today's disappointments?
There you go, 35 seconds. I mean, he literally has that down pat. So I can't expect that would be easy to do when you're getting heckled. So I'm a guy that'll cut new politician a break when they stumble a little bit off the start. Now, it did seem to me, and I said this right off the start, it seemed to have a different tone. I expect Pierre Polyev and the Conservatives to continue to rat-a-tat-tat against the Liberals on numerous issues. There's been a few, I would say, mainstay issues that they've been focused on, and a lot of it is using, they accuse the Liberals of using the U.S. trade and Donald Trump as a distraction from the real issues and the problems that Trudeau created over the last decade. That's going to be a big part of this. But it does seem to have a bit of a different tone. And that, to me, that tone is, I think Polyev has a respect for Carney that he lacked for Trudeau. And that came out through comments, that came out through, in some cases, name calling. And, you know, we talked about on the show a number of times those things that the speaker asked people to withdraw in terms of statements they made. I'm not suggesting that won't happen from time to time, but I do expect we'll see a bit of a different tone. The gamesmanship feels different between two opponents who both have different qualifications. What do you think? Do you think this fall will take a different tone in the House of Commons? Do you expect to see Pierre Polyev's strategy to be exactly the same as it was against Trudeau? Or will we see some subtle differences, some nuanced change to it? 1-877-332-8255. Happy to hear your thoughts on that. Here's the other story, and I talked about this earlier on. I don't know this NDP MLA from Manitoba. Nahanni Fontaine is her name. I don't know her at all. But boy, I've heard her name a lot. Haven't we heard her name a lot? In the news for misspeaking, being caught on what is a hot mic when she wasn't expecting it was on. Recently, she shared a post on Instagram the day after Charlie Kirk was assassinated, called the slain 31-year-old political commentator a racist, a xenophobic, transphobic, Islamophobic individual. And while extending condolences to Kirk's family, she went on to say she has no empathy for him. The man stood for nothing but hate. And many people, of course, saw that as cheering on the murder, the assassination of a political commentator. There were calls in Manitoba for her removal. Wab Kanoo addressed this situation, basically saying, no, that's not how he rolls.
I don't believe in cancel culture. It would be too easy to show her the door. It is a much harder task to say, we're going to work through this together, and I am going to try to help you understand why we need to bring people together and not divide people at this time.
As a former leader who had to answer for things that others in the organization said, I can tell you this lady's a problem. This lady is going to be a problem. In 2021, she was kicked out of the House for a full day, making an allegation about the Conservatives, saying they don't give a crap, that's the quote, about missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and two-spirited people. She was caught this June on a hot mic. So keep in mind, she is the minister responsible for accessibility. Okay, so she of all people should understand the importance of accessibility. She's speaking at an event, and there is a person up there doing sign language, interpreting sign language. She still has her microphone on. She's off stage, so it's not being projected to the audience. But APTN, who was broadcasting this, caught her on a hot mic, and she was throwing the F-bomb out there, saying, why was this sign language person on the stage? She was distracting to me. She should have been off the stage. You need to leave. Like, she was very condescending. And again, the language was very vulgar. APTN runs with this story and then almost instantly noticed every member of their news team had been blocked by MLA Fontaine on social media. So they call her out on that. She's like, oh, that was a mistake. I don't know how that happened. Sorry, we'll correct that. And now she's throwing out these comments, basically clapping and cheering as Charlie Kirk is assassinated in broad daylight in front of not only thousands of people there, but millions of people, of course, in the world were able to watch that in shock, that shooting, that murder. I think she's got to go. I think there needs to be more serious consequences for politicians who express racism or hate through speech or social media. It's a different standard. I know this whole freedom of speech. I get it. You know, there's this ability for people to say, I'm protected. I can say what I want as long as it doesn't amount to something criminal. The standard feels different. Would you want a politician? Do you want a politician? Do you want a police chief? Do you want a mayor of a city coming out saying hateful things against one group or the other? You can express dismay, you can express frustration, all of those things, but there should be consequences to this. And Wab Kanoo says, no, I don't believe in cancel culture. This is not cancel culture. This is just holding politicians to a different standard. 1-877-332-8255. We have a lot to talk about. Lines are open. Let's take a break, come back, and hear from you right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. 1-877-332-8255. The lines are open for you if you'd like to text or give us a call and join in the conversation. So I was talking about Nahanni Fontaine, who's in Manitoba NDP MLA, who right after Charlie Kirk's shooting made a post on social media that called him a bunch of names, said he's a white nationalist mouthpiece, made millions of dollars by inciting hatred. I extend absolutely no sympathy or empathy for people like that. I'm going to say no consequences. Yes, Premier Wab Kanoo asked her to apologize. And by the way, for the people on the text line who are saying, Evan, this has to cut both ways. Yeah, I totally agree. You're not backing me into a corner by saying that. I agree. I'm saying regardless of political lean and affiliation, there is a different standard for politicians, and politicians can't get away with this. Remember Raquel Hilbert, the Sask Party MLA, who insinuated NDP leader, federal NDP leader Jagmeet Singh was a terrorist? I mean, Premier Mo came out on that, said inaccurate and highly inappropriate comments. She was stripped of many of her duties. I think some people thought maybe she should have been removed from caucus altogether. That didn't happen there. But there were some consequences. People are pointing to the Democrat politician that was shot and killed along with her husband in Minnesota. And there were people, I agree, the people that were cheering that on, if they were politicians, there should be consequences. You heard me complaining the morning after that happened that Donald Trump didn't even pick up the phone and make a call to Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. That should have happened. There should have been, that should have been afforded as a step. So I think it's different for politicians and people that are holding some sort of public office. 1-877-332-8255, Cal in Oxbow. How are you, Cal?
I'm fine.
Where are you at on this Manitoba MLA and her comments?
Well, you know, Evan, I am definitely the first person to tell you that I am a believer in free speech. Even if you hate that speech, you have to allow it to happen. I'm also on the fence a little bit with agreeing with you that I think politicians and even university professors maybe should be held to a higher standard. I mean, politicians are sort of leading a nation and trying to represent all, and university professors are also dealing with young minds, impressionable people, and I think maybe they need to be held to a higher standard. I find it, here comes some free speech if you want to think of it that way. I find it really hard to accept that people openly or silently celebrate his death. I mean, I find that very soulless that people can do that when somebody is assassinated in front of their wife and children. But there certainly are people on the right who are saying terrible things. But I think, if you allow me, there's a little bit of history to all of this when we look at politicians and university professors. I mean, it was in the early 2000s, I think, when we started to label speech as harm, right? If you remember, they wanted to label these ideas as harmful and as violent, that speech is violence. And I think when you start doing that, you begin this idea that it's justified to be violent against people because of their speech. And so I think that when we see all of these things where you demonize one side of the aisle, you know, with words like they're dangerous, they're appalling. I mean, even one of the titles on CBC said that Pierre Poilievre was callously courting of Canadian deplorables. I mean, that's a terrible thing to say about people on the right. They're Nazis, they're fascists. So once you demonize a group of people and say that their speech is hateful, I mean, you justify it against them. And these videos of them victim blaming, I also see the victim blaming as a tacit admission of justified violence. That's the way I see it.
I appreciate your comments always, Cal. Thanks so much for calling in. This definitely cuts both ways. I've got a couple of comments here I'll get to on the text line after the break that are expressing their views, basically giving examples on the other side of the spectrum. 100%. Not going to argue with you on that. There should be consequences when people in elected positions, high-ranking public officials, make comments, express racism or hate through speech or social media. I think the standard is different. We'll continue the conversation when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Evan Bray on a Tuesday morning, and we have sparked a good conversation on the text line. It's debate back and forth live and well. So we're talking about the comments made on social media by Nahanni Fontaine, who is Manitoba Families Minister. She's an NDP MLA, made the comment on Instagram on Thursday, the day after Charlie Kirk was assassinated. Basically calling him some names, saying she has absolutely no empathy for him. The man stood for nothing but hate. Some people are pointing out she's stating her opinion, but it's not hate speech. So why are you so worked up about it? The question I'm posing, and maybe I'm on an island here. Maybe people think I'm out to lunch on this one, but I just think politicians have to be held to a different standard, and there has to be consequences. Now, for the people, for example, Colin in Mooseman, who texts in regularly to this show, should there be consequences for cheering Charlie Kirk's death, question mark? The same people who demand those consequences, number one, cheered the death of a Democrat state representative and her associate. Number two, demand that Democrats be arrested for not being Republican. And when they're called out, cry like babies because their right to freedom of speech is being trampled. So no, let me be clear. I find cheering a death to be disturbing. Both sides are guilty here and both are wrong. Colin, I'm not disagreeing with you. This goes both ways. When people are pointing out missteps, you know, well, what about this? I just finished talking about Raquel Hilbert, the SAS party MLA, insinuating that federal NDP leader Jagmeet Singh was a terrorist. There was all kinds of concern brought up about that, whether it be from public, whether it be from the opposition. Premier Mo said that was inaccurate and highly inappropriate, and she was stripped of duties. She wasn't removed from caucus, so maybe that's the trend that we're seeing here. Some people are pointing out Jeremy Harrison brought the gun to the ledge. What did you say about that? Excuse me? What did I say about? Let's go back and listen. And I'm not doing it. I'm not bringing it up right now. But if you go back and listen, I was offended by that. We did talk about that a lot. I actually asked the premier about that when he was on the show. And I know he didn't love the comment that I made to him. I said something to the effect that if I was premier, I would be offended that. And Premier Mo said, yeah, well, Evan, you're not the premier. Okay, fair enough. But my point is, there should be consequences. Now, Jeremy Harrison was stripped of some duties. Some people will argue it wasn't enough. But at the end of the day, this is the conversation, is should there be consequences? If Evan Bray, chief of police of the Regina Police Service, whether it was after the death of Charlie Kirk or a Democratic politician in the States, made a comment that, you know what, I have no empathy for that person. They were a cancer to society, and we're better off without them. What would you think? Is that acceptable for a person? I wasn't a politician, but I was in a position that I would expect the community has some expectations. People are pointing out on the text line that when you take the oath of office, there is some expectation that comes with that. What is the example? So here's one from Darcy and Bollier. What's the example that this Manitoba minister is setting for the youth of the province? Absolutely terrible. I'm not saying you can't say things that people disagree with. I'm saying, should there be a different standard for public officials, for politicians? 1-877-332-8255. Happy to hear your thoughts on that. The other thing that we're talking about, and I want to be able to bring it back to this as well, is the fall session has started in the House of Commons in Ottawa. And I said it feels as if we have set a bit of a different tone. What I watched yesterday, I watched a good chunk of question period yesterday, and there were, I mean, you could see smiles on the faces of both Pierre Poilievre and Mark Carney. It's the political gamesmanship that you would expect in the House of Commons. It was, in some cases, accusatory, but in all cases, professional, and it really took on a bit of a different tone. And so, yeah, I feel as though maybe we're charting a different course. Maybe we're going to see a bit of a different relationship between the federal conservative and federal liberal parties. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, let's go back to the phone line. Jace, thanks for calling in. You're taking us back to the Manitoba MLA. Give me your thoughts.
Well, so I didn't see the post when it happened, so I'm not going to talk as if this is fact. But everything that I'm seeing, I did a quick Google search, and all of the news articles I'm seeing are saying that it was a reshare from her.
It was. It was a reshare.
Her post. So, you know, it's easy to be on social media and see something and go, yeah, I'm going to repost that and not think too much about it. But would she make those words herself? I don't think so, and post it herself. But also, I mean, in the post, I'm not going to say that those words are wrong either, because if you listen to the things that Charlie Kirk would say, and we talked about this last week about, you know, some of the thoughts he had on certain things, but a lot of that stuff that was in that post is true. Like, a lot of the things he said were hateful speech, and I don't feel like there should be any consequences for saying the truth for something like that.
So it's interesting. I want to find this text from Ari. Now I'm probably not going to find it. I've lost it in the but anyway, it's this whole difference between things we don't like to hear and things that actually become hate, and talking about the difference between those two. At the end of the day, we will hear things that we don't like to hear from others, including people that are in high ranking or elected official positions. And the fact that it's a repost does not change one thing in my mind, Jace. The fact that it's a repost, the first time I saw it, someone shared it with me and had actually blanked her name out, saying this was posted on social media, reposted by a politician. I think they said in Manitoba, but the name wasn't on there. I had no idea who the politician was, but we talked about it on the show, and I said the name had been blocked out. So the fact that it's a reshare, to me, no, I don't cut any difference. I don't cut any slack for that. Sean and Weyburn, the Manitoba MLA response to Charlie Kirk. This isn't about left or right, or it's about right or wrong. She is wrong about Charlie Kirk. Actually, I'm okay that the premier left her in the cabinet. She and the NDP exposed for who they really are. So, you know, again, we can have a difference of opinion, but should the politicians be allowed to express theirs openly like that in a way when many people, like, I mean, we saw Bernie Sanders, for goodness sakes, denouncing what happened to Charlie Kirk. I mean, Bernie Sanders is clearly in the United States a staunch Democrat who fights the Republicans on so many different things, is clearly not an ally to the U.S. president. And yet that 5-minute video that he put on social media is what I expect from a politician. That's what I expect from a leader. 1-877-332-8255. Ken in Saskatoon, what do you think about this?
Okay, first of all, anybody who's saying that Charlie is a fascist and hate speech and all this stuff, how many of them have actually listened to an entire conversation that he's had with anybody? You can't go by what other people have said. Listen to what he said. Now, when it comes to context with this minister, Amy Hamm was a nurse in B.C., put up a big billboard that says, "I heart J.K. Rowling." That's all it said. She was, a complaint was made against her and to the people who run nursing in B.C., and she has been suspended and fined $93,000. Yet a person in power can revel in the death of a man, and she's fine. It's only free speech. There is something wrong in this society. I heart J.K. Rowling is free speech. Yes, it's free. If she, the one in Manitoba, wants to say this, she's free to say it. However, we have higher standards. People, I don't care if a dishwasher says something hateful about Charlie Kirk. I really don't. But a professor, an elementary school teacher, a doctor, a politician, those standards have to be so much higher if we want a civil society. If you just want assassinations back and forth in a third world way and fist fights in parliament like they do in so many places, then fine. That's the where we're heading right now, folks.
1-877-332-8255. We'll take a break and then we will be back here on 650 CKOM 980 CJME. Okay, so this happens from time to time. When we're having a conversation like this, I have to sometimes guard against this slipping off the road and into the ditch. And I'm going to try and pull it back on the road right now because we're getting texts. And here's a good example from Dylan in Saskatoon, who likes to call himself Radicalized Dylan on his texts, basically saying, don't give empathy to those that don't want it. Nothing she said was wrong. She's not lying about those things. He goes on to say Charlie Kirk was a bigot when it comes to trans or gay. He didn't support your wife's choice to make medical decisions about her body. What did she say that wasn't true? That's not the question I'm asking. I'm not asking you whether or not, because there are a lot of people who believe what Nahanni Fontaine, NDP MLA in Manitoba, said. There's a lot of people that think Charlie Kirk was a racist, was Islamophobic, was transphobic. There's a lot of people that will agree with that. I'm not asking you whether you agree or not. What I'm asking is, should we be holding politicians to a higher standard who essentially say inflammatory things and in this case, essentially cheer on the death of someone who's been murdered as a result of political violence? I think we need to hold the politicians to a higher standard. John from Saskatoon said, we are always saying we need to get the best and brightest people to run for politics in this country. Situations like this, with the violence that's been taking place towards politicians of any party just for speaking, is actually going to make it very, very tough to further in the future get people to actually put themselves out there in the public. 1-877-332-8255. I've got time for a couple more quick calls before we wrap up open lines. I'll go to Bev in Saskatoon. Bev, what do you say on this topic?
Well, Evan, I'm swimming towards your island. You are not alone. And we have a lot of friends with me. You know, I think it's so unfortunate when we go to such a level of non-compassion, unkindness, just, you know, and I agree with the last caller who was much more eloquent than I am. You know, we have to be able to discuss these things without denigrating the person. It's what, you know, we've gone down this dark path of just being so mean to people and so hateful. How does that, you know, and it's like, that's the lazy way to argue, you know, like have a debate, discuss things, but you've got to be decent. People don't deserve to die for what they think, but they also, you know, you cannot like what they're saying, but leave the person out of it. And I think you're right about our Canadian politicians, like, they've got a platform. So they need to be responsible. And I just wonder, this may be a little bit touchy. I won't say in general, but there seem to be a lot of NDP people who are always in the news for saying something really awful. And, you know, I don't forget. I don't know if other people just kind of forget that and slough it off. I think it's important. I mean, our society, we're losing our, you know, it's our politeness and manners and kindness that helps us perform as a society that is inclusive and good to people. We can disagree, but when you have your politicians spewing hateful things or violence or whatever, you know, and I hate to say it, but when Brad Wall was in, there were so many leaked comments that the NDP were saying to him about him, like personally about his family, and I just think, you know what, that was so shameful. And that we need to look again at how we're speaking to people, because what you say, that's who you are. And what you share on social media, that's what you believe, you know, unless you put an addendum on it.
Yeah, Bev, I appreciate your thoughts. The one thing I will point out is there are lots of examples of every party. So this is not unique to one party. Yes, today we're talking about a specific MLA in Manitoba, but we can draw examples in Saskatchewan to different parties, federally to different parties. So to me, it's a bigger and broader conversation than that. Okay. I don't think I can jump into more calls. I know we've got a number on the line here, but it's a healthy conversation. And I think in a world where we're talking about free speech and we're talking about the importance of that, it is important to have these conversations, which is why I greatly appreciate the number of texts and calls we've got on it. Throughout the show, I'll have opportunities to come back and revisit some of those text messages as well. Okay, we are completely switching gears to a topic that I'm looking forward to broaching here in just a moment. One of the publications you will find in many homes, especially in rural Saskatchewan, is the Old Farmer's Almanac. It is consistently accurate. And we've got a guest from that publication joining us next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.